Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 of Acts 13. The title of this message, Commissioning Ben Gardner. Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines the word commission as authorization or command made, authority given to act for or in behalf and in the place of another, a thing to be done by one as agent for another. To commission a ship is to equip and man a vessel and send it out in service. A commissioned officer is an officer who holds rank by virtue of a commission. The authorization of the churches of Jesus Christ for their work is found in Matthew 28:19 and 20 and Mark 16:15, and is often referred to as the Great Commission. Let's turn to Matthew 28:19, and then we'll turn over to Mark 16 and verse 15. Matthew 28:19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now look at Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, 15, this is the Lord Jesus here. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Today our church is commissioning Benjamin Gene Gardner as a missionary to Brazil. We are authorizing and sending him out with authority to act for and in behalf of the Victory Baptist Church of Kansas City, Missouri. In this message, for this commissioning service, I shall follow an alliterative outline, the points of which all involve words beginning with the letter C, in order to help you keep track of the outline. First of all, the classic example. A Baptist church bases its practices not only on direct commands in the New Testament, but on practices and precedents in the churches of the New Testament as well. Someone else has said that the New Testament, New Testament precedent is the common law of the churches. The book of Acts gives us illustrations of the principles on which Christ intends for his churches to act. This commissioning, or sending out of missionaries with the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a scriptural action. Our text in Acts 13, 1 through 4, is the classic scriptural example of a church commissioning missionaries. Our text tells us of a missionary commissioning service that was held in the church at Antioch. The holding of this formal commissioning service indicates that something very important was happening here. Something that was out of the ordinary. Something very significant, something worthy of our attention. This text tells us that in the church at Antioch, there were certain men, six altogether, who were prophets and teachers in that church. The Holy Spirit instructed that church to separate two of these men, Barnabas and Saul, and I'll probably slip and call him Paul because his name in this same chapter was changed to Paul. Barnabas and Saul, they are to be separated from the rest for the work to which the Holy Spirit had called them. This work was the great missionary enterprise that we now call Paul's first missionary journey. These men were to be commissioned, authorized, and commanded by this church to go on this great missionary journey. Verse 1, if you'll look at the text, tells us that these men were prophets and teachers. Prophets and teachers were responsible for preaching the gospel and teaching people the doctrines of the gospel. Both pastors and missionaries today must be apt to teach. These two men had been trained and prepared for their missionary work. Barnabas and Saul had already been serving the Lord for quite some time when this church sent them out. The Lord kept Paul at home after saving him for 10 to 12 years before he sent him out as a missionary. This, of course, differs with each man in God's plan and God's dealings, but Barnabas and Saul and all missionaries must receive training before going. I find it very interesting and instructive that Paul was about 37 years old when he was sent out as a missionary. He had been an apostle long before his commissioning. And so he was trained for the work. Verses 3 and 4 tell us that Barnabas and Saul were commissioned, sent out by both the church at Antioch and the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 says that when the church had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul, they, that is the church at Antioch, sent them away. This text reminds us, my friends, that it is a church of Jesus Christ that sends out missionaries. Verse 1 clearly places the context of foreign mission work in the local church. Look at verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the church at Antioch. They sent them away. In verse 3 refers to the church. Biblical missionary work is always connected with a church in the New Testament. In the New Testament, missionaries were sent out by local churches. As we look at God's Word, we find that denominational organizations, evangelistic associations, mission boards, and missionary societies were never used in the New Testament. They did not exist. In our printed program today, there is included a tremendous statement by Charles Spurgeon about local churches versus mission boards and mission societies. These words are from his sermon on Jonah 1, 5, and 6 in Volume 8 of the Metropolitan Tabernacle Pulpit. I want to read these words and maybe add one or two to them that are not included in the bulletin. Quote, "In my inmost soul, I believe that the Lord is not with the most of our foreign missions. And why? Because God never called the missionary societies to the work. He never bade the missionary society become the spouse of Christ or bring forth sons unto him. His offspring, his seed, which shall reward him for his soul's travail, must spring from his own well-beloved bride. Much as I value all good societies, I cannot hesitate to declare that the church is the ordained agent and that all beside is human and derives authority only from man. Hence I say of a society for the conversion of the heathen, it is a man-constituted body and not of God. The Lord will work, not by committees, but by His churches. The church must do her own work. And when all our churches are thoroughly aroused to this fact, and every congregation shall send out its own men, pray for their own men, and support their own men, we shall see greater things than we have ever dreamed of. Unquote. The local church was the only means of doing mission work in the New Testament. Neither do New Testament missionaries appoint themselves or go out on their own. We have a lot of these today. Barnabas and Saul were not free to be self-appointed or Lone Ranger missionaries. They were sent out by a church, and they were supported by the churches. They did not go out at their own expense. You know, there's a certain denomination who sends out missionaries, but they have to pay their own way. Saul and Barnabas didn't go out at their own expense. As they gave their very lives, the churches gave the money. Examples can be found throughout Paul's writings of individual churches that gave financial support to Paul for his mission work. Missionaries are sent out by the churches. Thus, we conclude from that missionaries are responsible to the churches. They're sent out by the churches. They're responsible to the churches. Acts 14:27 says that Barnabas and Saul came back from this first missionary trip. What did they do? They reported to the church at Antioch that had sent them out. They told them all about their work. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Today, our church, the Victory Baptist Church of Kansas City, Missouri, is commissioning Ben Gardner as a missionary. We are authorizing and sending him out to do what churches are put on this earth to do. We are commissioning him as a missionary of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I once heard Brother Dan Cozart say, and I believe it was in a conference here many years ago, I heard him say that the purpose of the church is missions, and the purpose of missions is the church. This text also tells us that Barnabas and Saul were commissioned by the Holy Spirit. Not only were they commissioned by the church, but by the Holy Spirit. In verse 2, the Holy Spirit told the church at Antioch to separate to him Barnabas and Saul. And verse 4 says, Barnabas and Saul were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit that moved the church at Antioch to send them away. The church did not choose Barnabas and Saul, nor did Barnabas and Saul volunteer. I've heard people talk about, well, we need more people to volunteer for missions. No, we don't. We need God-called missionaries. Holy Spirit-separated missionaries. The Holy Spirit sovereignly told this church to set these men aside as missionaries. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of foreign missions. And the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit will lead every New Testament church to pray for and financially support foreign missionaries. This setting aside of Saul was not the same thing as his call from God to preach. This he had received years before this. He started preaching immediately after the Lord saved him. We read about this call in Acts 9:15. Here the Lord was speaking to Ananias, whom he was sending to baptize Saul. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. See, he was called a long time before he was commissioned to go out. Verse 3 tells of the commissioning service for Saul, for Barnabas and Saul. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This church fasted and prayed, and been many multitudes of prayer have been offered up for you and Stephanie over these previous years as you have prepared to go. This church fasted and prayed and laid hands on Barnabas and Saul. Now, this was not the laying on of hands of an ordination service. This laying on of hands did not convey to these men the Holy Spirit, nor did it ordain them to the ministry. Both of these men had already received the Holy Spirit. Both of them had already been ordained. Laying on of hands was a gesture or ceremony that was used often among the Jews in Bible times to make things formal and official. The laying on of hands on Barnabas and Saul was a formal and official token of their commissioning by that church. Now these men would be separated from their brothers in Christ in the church at Antioch and sent forth from there for the work of Christ, missionary work. The church now sent them away to do the work that they had been called to do. They, like Ben and Stephanie, will soon do, went overseas with the gospel. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by both the Holy Spirit and the church at Antioch. Therefore, this was a twofold sending out of missionaries. First of all, God sent them out, and secondly, the church sent them. Verse 4 says, they departed to Seleucia, which was the port for Antioch, and from there they sailed away. The second thing I want us to look at in this commissioning service is the charge. We looked at the classic example, now the charge. What are missionaries charged to do? What is their task? Ben has finished his training. He has been taught and trained in Bible study, theology, preaching, and pastoring. He has been taught to follow the pattern of sound words. All the years and experiences of Ben's preliminary training are now complete, and the great work of his life is about to begin. I envy him. Brother Ben, you're going to start out on your life's work. Now's the time. Finally, after all of you've been through, you're finally going to start out. It is apparent to our church that Ben has the gifts and the training for the work of the gospel ministry. That's why we have ordained him. But my friends, Ben would be the first to admit this, Ben is not naturally sufficient for this missionary work. Christ, who has called him, will make him able. God, in his grace, will give him utterance. Our salvation is all of grace, and so is our ministry, and so is our missionary work. It's all of grace. What will Ben do now? What will his duties as a missionary be? According to the Lord Jesus in the Great Commission, there are three things that a missionary is commissioned to do. So many of them forget this. There are three things. Everything he does can be summed up in these three things that a missionary is commissioned to do. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A missionary, therefore, is commissioned to make, baptize, and teach disciples for Jesus Christ. That's so simple. Why can't we get that? First of all, a missionary is to evangelize the lost. His work is to proclaim the gospel to the unsaved. Ben's going out there to Brazil to preach the gospel to those people. His message is the gospel of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Scriptures. A New Testament missionary will not be provided his message by the liturgies or sermons sent out to him by some denomination. I wouldn't do it if I could. That's an insult to a preacher to be given messages and told to preach them. A missionary is not commissioned to preach a clever message that might be more appealing to his audiences. At the heart of all that he does is the message of salvation for sinners through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. As the old hymn says, the missionary is to tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. Secondly, a missionary of Jesus Christ is commissioned not only to evangelize the lost, but to immerse the newly saved. In other words, to baptize the believers made. A missionary's work is not complete until he has immersed his converts. Thirdly, a missionary of Jesus Christ is commissioned to indoctrinate new believers, grounding them in the Word of God. He is to catechize, to instruct those who have believed and been baptized. This teaching includes the application of God's Word to every area of life. Obviously, a missionary's faithful carrying out of his commission will necessitate his organizing indigenous churches in the area where he works. Indigenous churches with their own indigenous pastors must be brought into being as soon as possible. A missionary that's not starting churches is not functioning scripturally as a missionary. This will necessitate the training of national pastors to lead these indigenous churches as soon as practicable. Ben, I charge you this morning to work hard to train national pastors who can take the leadership of the churches and carry on the work of Christ when you have moved on to new locations or when the communists may drive you out of the country, whichever it might be. This man, Ben Gardner, has been called of God and is now being commissioned to make, baptize, and teach disciples of Jesus Christ and to plant indigenous churches among the peoples of southern Brazil. The method to be used in carrying out this commission is preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21. I wish a lot of preachers knew this verse was in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Many missionaries in Brazil today, I've been there, I've seen them. Many missionaries in Brazil today are busy with shallow activities and programs like youth choirs and teaching kids to play basketball and putting on musical concerts. But according to the New Testament, God puts the light of the gospel before men through preaching. God calls missionaries to preach. Ephesians 3:8 says God made Paul a minister to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Let's read that, Ephesians 3:8. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In his sermon on Acts 13:49, the title of which is Gospel Missions, Charles Spurgeon said that the main work of missionaries is preaching, not starting schools or setting up printing presses. Important as those things are, these things are doing good but not doing the good. Every true missionary says with Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Unfortunately, many missionaries can't preach. Some who can don't preach because they don't study. It takes real discipline to study in order to be able to preach the gospel. Day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade. Then, as you and Stephanie go, I want to charge you to do some other things in connection with these scriptural duties of missionaries. First of all, I charge you to follow Jesus Christ above all others. Follow Jesus Christ above all others. As a missionary, you are accountable to your sending church and your supporting churches. Yes, but always remember that you serve Christ first of all. The Lord Jesus requires faithfulness to Him first and foremost. The church's authority belongs to the church's head. No church and no supporters have the right to require a missionary to do things that God doesn't command. You are called by the Lord, not by some mission board, not by some convention, not by some individual who may give a lot of money to your support. If you don't realize and practice this, you are doomed to become a man pleaser. Secondly, I charge you to rest in the assurance of Christ's presence with you wherever you go in serving Him. Rest in the assurance of Christ's presence with you wherever you go in serving Him. The Lord promises you as a missionary in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, I believe you can base your life on that promise. The Lord Jesus has also promised in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Claim the great promise of God to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Remember these promises as you face the trials and difficulties and challenges of your work. Thirdly, I charge you as you spend the money sent for your support, remember the love and sacrifice of those who gave that money. As you spend that money, remember the sacrifice and the love of those who gave it. Remember also this love and sacrifice as you study God's Word and preach the gospel. That's why we're sending you down there. That's why we're giving. We're going to give. I'm going to challenge the church to give sacrificially to support your work. It's so that you can study God's Word and preach the gospel. Fourthly, I charge you to take everything good that you have gotten here and leave behind anything that does not glorify God and build up Christ's work. You've made great friendships with our people. Take those friendships with you and never break those friendships. Number five, I charge you to lean heavily on your sending pastor for advice and counsel. Number six, I charge you to report at least monthly to the churches about your work, and especially to our church. The churches who support you, Ben, have a right to know about the progress of your work. In your reports, I heard, had a fellow tell me one time, well, I don't know what to report. Well, in your reports, tell us, describe what happened during the month. Tell experiences. Every missionary that's worth his salt has things that happened to him that are worth reporting. Souls saved, members added to the church, answers to prayer, victories won, disciplinary actions by the churches. Such experiences interest and encourage the folks back home and strengthen their concern and support and even their own churches. I believe our church has been strengthened by looking especially at the experiences of Brother Calvin Gardner's missionary work. And all their difficulties and struggles that they've had, they've been real, without even my commenting on it, I believe they've been really encouraging and instructive to us. Our church once supported a missionary who refused to report to us. And he told somebody, I don't think it's the church's business what I'm doing down there. He refused to report to us. Well, after a while, it became apparent why he would not do so. It was because he had little or nothing to report. Ben Gardner, I charge you this morning in the name of our great Savior to faithfully carry out all these duties that I have reviewed here today. The next thing that I shall emphasize in this commissioning service message is the challenge. We've looked at the classic example, then the charge, now the challenge. Ben, you have been called to take the gospel to the nation of Brazil. As you leave to go out to the far ends of the earth, I believe it should be encouraging and comforting to you to realize that you join a long line of faithful pastors and missionaries that stretches all the way back to the Apostle Paul and the early churches. You and Stephanie are about to leave home and homeland for the cause of Christ. The work of missionaries, the work of the missionary is not for sissies. The mission field is not for those who cannot make it as pastors back in the homeland. Missionary work calls for the noblest energies of men, wisdom, perseverance, sacrifice, self-denial, courage, and faith. Your softness as Americans will be tested. You will need toughness and courage. You will face difficulty. You, especially Stephanie, will experience culture shock and impatience with government incompetence. That is far worse ever, even than here at home. Standing in line at the bank around the block twice to do a simple banking. That's going to be a shock. You will face loneliness, homesickness, and craving for American friends and places. You will face the paganism of Roman Catholicism with its patron saint, the Black Virgin of Aparecida. There in Brazil, you will face a communist and increasingly anti-American government. You may face the diseases of Brazil, dengue fever and dysentery and even leprosy, as in the case of our beloved Rebecca Hawkins. Yes, you will face difficulties, but I wouldn't dare stop there without saying that the rewards of your work will be greater than all of these things that we've mentioned and many more. You will be able to use every talent and ability the Lord has graciously given you and Stephanie, Ben, if you have the determination and the discipline to do so. You will see souls saved, delivered from the bondage of sin and to the blessed happiness of serving Christ. You will see lives changed, churches started, preachers called. Someday, you will meet souls in heaven to whom you preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and because of your labors, they'll be there. I can't think of anything better than that. By the solemnities of this day, you, Ben Gardner, are publicly set aside for the service of Christ in taking the gospel to the heathen. May you be the forerunner of many who will follow you in this difficult but glorious work of preaching the gospel to the nations. Today, we commend you to the care of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and pray that in the coming day of our Lord Jesus Christ, you may have the happiness of presenting many Brazilians before the throne of Christ's glory. What may be said in let me put it in the form of question. What may be said in ages to come about those saved as a result of our church sending out Ben Gardner today? Can we even imagine what the Lord will do with this man that we are commissioning today? We'll only find out when we gather around God's throne in heaven at last. Another thing I want to emphasize in this message is the covenant. This term covenant is used often in the pages of God's Word. A covenant is simply an agreement between two or more persons. If you've ever studied the Children's Catechism, that's the definition. A covenant is an agreement between two or more persons. At this time, I'm going to ask the members of Victory Baptist Church to covenant together to do certain things, certain important things, in relation to Ben and Stephanie Gardner as our missionaries to Brazil. I hope you'll pay very close attention to this, because I'm going to ask you as a congregation to respond to this. Number one, we will do our best to pray regularly for your work. You are now in the act of leaving parents, friends, and country. But be assured, we will have you in tenderest remembrance and shall never cease to make mention of you in our prayers. We covenant together to do that. Secondly, we will conscientiously and generously give our money for your support. This means that we will tithe and give beyond the tithe so that your work can continue. I've been amazed through the years at how much money Victory Baptist Church has given to missionaries. We pledge to continue doing that, giving to missions. It's one of the good works that Christians are called upon to do. We covenant together to do that in your support today. Thirdly, we covenant together that we will strive to keep ourselves informed about your physical and spiritual needs so that we can pray and give toward the meeting of those needs. Fourthly, we covenant together in this way: should the Lord see fit to call them to His service, we will give our sons and daughters to the work of missions. Now then, if you are a member of Victory Baptist Church, and you will covenant with me to do these things in support of Ben and Stephanie Gardner, will you indicate your commitment to do so by standing to your feet at this time? And I'm standing. All right. I believe it's unanimous. Every member of the church, Brother Ben, including those in the sound booth, are standing to commit themselves to to do these things that we have covenanted together to do. Ben and Stephanie, we as a church now covenant with each other, with you, and with our God to do these things. The prayers and hopes of our church go with you. You will always have our affection and our admiration. Now I've asked Deacon David Anderson to come and lead us in a prayer of consecration as we commission Ben and Stephanie to go out. Brother Anderson.
Before I pray, I would like to read from Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 39, which describes the participation of the Hebrew Christians as companions in the ministry of the apostle who wrote the letter. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock or a spectacle, both by reproaches and affiliations, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling or plundering of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Will you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge as a church our responsibility to carry out your will as expressed in the words of the Great Commission. And we have done so in support of missionaries for many years. And we pray now that we are united and committed in having taken the next step in commissioning and sponsoring the ones you have called, and that we become their companions in the preaching of the gospel in Brazil. We pray, Father, that we would pray for them, that we would be an encouragement to them. We pray, Father, that we would comfort them. We also pray that we would support them financially in tithes and offerings. We pray that we would have the same level of support that the readers of the book of Hebrews had for its author. We know that the Hebrew Christians became a spectacle, both by reproaches and afflictions, and they became companions of them that were so treated. More importantly, they had compassion on the apostle when he suffered affliction, even to the point of chains. Not only did they have compassion on the apostle, they joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods, knowing that they had a better and enduring possession in heaven. We pray that our commitment to the gardeners would approach that of the Hebrew Christians who were willing to suffer affliction and reproach as they joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods on behalf of the missionary work of the apostle. We pray, Father, knowing that our citizenship is not of this world, but is in heaven. And we pray that we will lay up treasure in heaven as we consecrate ourselves to the spiritual support as well as the financial support of Benjamin and Stephanie Gardner. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Now, Brother John, if you'll come and lead us in our closing hymn, then we'll be dismissed to the fellowship hall for lunch. We'll have the blessing over there.